And you may experience times when you receive things you are not deserving of, but God gives it to you anyways because He knows that you have the potential to grow into the position. Hello, beloved, and welcome to Beloved Women with me, Christina Patterson, where we help women to learn, love, and live God's Word. If you're new here, please be sure to subscribe for new videos each week. And for those of you returning, welcome back. For Beloved Bible study series, daily devotions, study guides, and unlimited ad-free videos to grow your faith, download the Beloved Women app. Today's video is part of our Crazy or Called Bible study series as we learn what happens when God calls ordinary people to extraordinary purpose. Find the link to the entire series below and get your copy of the Crazy or Called Bible study guide at thebelovedboutique.com or on Amazon. Since God has a habit of calling people to do things that are seemingly crazy, we need a level of confidence that only comes from God. When I say confidence, I don't mean the mask that we put on for social media or small talk. I mean the type of confidence that's deep down, soul anchoring, unmovable, life-giving, and true. Many times we think of confidence as a feeling. So we want to do things that help us to feel confident. But there is a vast difference between feeling confident and actually being confident. When you feel something, you can lose it because feelings are fickle and they change. But when you are something, it just is unchanging and truly secure. This confidence doesn't always come naturally. Often we must grow into this type of confidence required to answer God's call on our lives. In 2022, I was scheduled to present at one of the largest conferences for Christian women speakers. Although I was a workshop presenter and would not be on the main stage, I was elated. I was just happy to be in the lineup. It was a dream come true. COVID-19 restrictions, however, changed everything. The conference would no longer be in person, but virtual. And after an interesting turn of events, I was moved up to a virtual main stage speaker, no longer a workshop presenter. As I scrolled the conference website, I saw two women on top of the speaker list who I admired for years and who were well established and well known in the industry. Then right under their pictures, was mine. I was taken aback, and if I'm honest, I didn't feel like I deserved that position. In my mind, there were other women who had been speaking longer and who had much farther reach and impact than I, who could have been in that lineup. And I'm not trying to talk down about myself. I've done good work, but if I'm honest, that is how I really felt during that time. And as I spoke to my husband about it, he reminded me that no matter the reason or situation that led me to be a part of that lineup, God was in control of everything and to trust that He had me there for a reason. I've learned that God has a habit of sometimes placing us in positions that we have to grow into. Honestly, favor is not fair, and you may experience times when you receive things you are not deserving of, but God gives it to you anyways because He knows that you have the potential to grow into the position. God is giving you an early glimpse of who He knows you can be because He's the one that made you. Sometimes I'll buy my children clothes that are too big for them because I know that eventually they will grow into them. In the same way, God will often call us to a purpose that is much bigger than us, but He knows what He put in us and what He left out. And He knows that He did put in us the potential to grow into our purpose. At the time, we may feel like a small fish in a big pond, but we have to realize that sometimes we are called to a purpose that we need to grow into. And as we look at the life of Esther today, we'll see that she found herself in such a position. Esther was an orphan who rose to become queen of Persia. During her rule, a high official named Haman convinced the king of Persia to annihilate all the people of God. When Esther's uncle Mordecai found out, he was deeply saddened and asked Esther to approach the king to save their people. Esther, however, was hesitant to approach the king. She explained to Mordecai that she had not been summoned by the king in 30 days, and the law stated that any man or woman who went to the king inside his inner court without being summoned would be put to death. Seems like a pretty good excuse to me. Nobody's out here trying to die. But while Esther was attempting to preserve her life, Mordecai called out her potential. Listen to Mordecai's response to Esther's hesitation in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's household will perish. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Esther was called to her position for a purpose, but when it was time to answer the call, she became fearful and intimidated. She lost confidence, but God would use this very situation to grow her into a confident queen who could take steps of faith that would save generations. Soon after her words with Mordecai and her fast, Esther approached the king, who held out the golden scepter and granted Esther what she wanted. The people of God were saved because Esther mustered up the confidence to take a risk by using her position to save her people. From the text, we see Esther grows into her position in 3 steps that we can all learn from. First, she makes God her source. Second, she asks for what she needs. And third, she embraces that she is called. Let's explore each of these steps to learn how we too can grow confidently into the call God has on our lives. The first step Esther took was to remember that God was her source. Mordecai reminds Esther God is the one who will save his people with or without her. See, Esther had to get her eyes off the king and off the palace because she was going to either risk dying for her people or dying with her people. Before Esther could stop being paralyzed by fear and start to move forward in true confidence, she had to realize the palace could not save her anyways. If we found that we're lacking confidence in our call, we must ask ourselves, what or who are we looking to for salvation, satisfaction, or approval? We must realize it's not the palace's job to save us. It's not another person's responsibility to fulfill us. It's not a title or salary that can truly give us joy. Esther was blessed to have Mordecai because he examples for us how to have the confidence we need to answer God's call on our lives. He asked Esther to help, but his hope was not in Esther. He was fully sure that no matter what, God would provide help for his people. So as we answer God's call, and if the call asks for more of us than we think we can give, we must remember it is God who is our source. The second step Esther needed to take to grow into her position of purpose was to ask for help. When Esther realized that God was truly in control of this situation and it was not up to her or the king, she asked her people and her servants for help. She requested that they all pray and fast with her. I'm so glad that she realized she didn't have to do this by herself, because feeling alone is a sure way to stop us from walking in our calling. Feeling like you have to do everything by yourself and that everything is on your shoulders is sure to leave you discouraged, deflated, and doubtful. But we're not alone. Not only do we have a God who is always there for us, but many of us have friends and family ready to help us at the drop of a dime if we'd simply open our mouths to ask. Maybe our lack of resources or help isn't because we need to do better or get our lives in order, but because we need to realize we can't do it all on our own. And more importantly, We aren't supposed to. Just because God called you to do something doesn't mean he expects you to do it alone. In fact, he has called others to come alongside you, but you have to be willing to ask and receive help. The issue we have with asking, however, is that it places us in a vulnerable position. We have to admit that we don't have it all together, but even queens need help. Even the most organized type A woman needs a helping hand. This doesn't make you any less confident to ask for it when you need it. Actually, it makes you stronger. We need to realize that being confident doesn't mean being independent. Being confident means asking for help and trusting God with the results. But oftentimes we fear asking because we fear rejection. We have to realize then that no one can shut a door on you that God opened, and no one can open a door for you that God has shut. God could have delivered his people without Esther's asking the king, but he decided to use her approaching the king as the means by which he would save his people. When Esther approached the king, he extended his scepter and granted Esther everything she wanted. The king gave her the answer, but God gave her the favor. The Bible tells us the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. Even in our asking, it's not up to who we are asking to provide. It's up to God. When Moses asked Pharaoh to release the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, he said no. But it was God's will that they be released. So guess what ultimately happened? They were set free. Donald and I purchased our first home after we got married. And when we purchased the home, it was not made clear to us that we would have to pay not one, but two homeowners association or HOA fees. I was hot. So I started going to the HOA meetings and realized that we were not the only ones with this issue. We felt like the builder tricked us. So at one meeting, one of my neighbors asked the HOA board of directors, well, how did this happen and why did it happen and could we change it? And they didn't give us any kind of straightforward answer. And they were pretty much like, well, this just is what it is. This is how it's always been. And this is how it will always be. To which my neighbor inquired, well, did we ask if we could change the policy of paying the two HOA fees? And no one said anything because no one asked. They just accepted this unfair treatment like, well, this just is what it is and it won't change. To which my neighbor said, really loudly, I might add, well, you have not because you asked not. She said it with an attitude like that and everything. And everyone fell silent. And it was like, I'd never heard that saying before, but for some reason, in that situation, it stuck. That moment reminded me that sometimes we don't have things because we haven't asked for them. So oftentimes now when I need something, I hear my neighbor in the back of my head, well, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes when I'm afraid to ask someone for something because I'm afraid that I'll inconvenience them, I hear her again, well, you have not because you ask not. It's often in asking that God provides what we need to answer his call. So think about what you need today and who has God positioned around you to help. Because what you need to answer God's call on your life may very well be one ask away. The final step to grow into your position of purpose is to acknowledge who called you into this purpose in the first place. If we forget that it is God who is the one calling and commissioning us, we'll hesitate, doubt, and fear will stop us. But God reminds us that we are not crazy. We are called. We can never have the confidence to walk in our calling if we go around telling ourselves that we're crazy and listening to anyone else that agrees. What matters most is not the call itself, but the one who calls us in the first place. There are plenty of people who would have called Esther crazy. Esther had not been summoned in 30 days. She did not come from royalty. She was an orphan. Sure, she was queen now, but for all we know, maybe she felt like she just got lucky. So here she has this opportunity to save her people, but she originally doesn't want to use her position of power because she doesn't really feel powerful in the first place. Like a small fish in a big pond. Esther needed to be reminded that she wasn't here by accident. She wasn't even here because the king chose her. She was here in her royal position because God called her here. She had to realize that her position had purpose. And Mordecai reminded her of that with these words. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We have to realize our position, where God has us right now, is not by accident, because our position isn't about ourselves. With all that's going on in the world, we can't afford to have one more woman who isn't confident in her call, because when we think that we're crazy, we'll shrink back, we'll remain silent, and we'll try to stay out of the limelight. We'll make it all about us and we'll fail to realize that there are people waiting on us to answer our call. Not because we're perfect, because we're not. Not because we're ready, because we never will be. Not because everyone likes us, because they won't, but simply because God is the one who calls us. Before her parents passed away, before she was raised as an orphan by her uncle, before she went through all the beauty treatments, and even before the king chose her to be queen, Esther was chosen by her heavenly Father. Before she acquired servants and sat on the throne and risked her life to approach the king, she was called. And so are you. You are chosen, you are accepted, you are loved, and you, beloved, are called.
Beloved Women members, support our mission to empower women with the love and truth of Jesus Christ. Our members receive exclusive access to Beloved Women videos, Bible studies, printable study guides, and more. If you like Beloved Women, you will love being a Beloved Women member. Learn more and join today at belovedwomen.org.